Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
Welcome. I'm Solazar and this is Metaphysical Musings. Now, before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm a speaker, a performer, a reader, a healer, a radio host, and an author. I've been a part of the metaphysical community all my life, and along the way, I completed a series of formal studies, as well as all that you learn from the informal connections of the people you meet on the journey. Now, this show shares a variety of metaphysical subjects. I want to thank Angel Thacker and the New Age Guild for letting me be a part of the Spirit Talk lineup. For those who listen to me here or on my Good Vibrations radio show, you know I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. In 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh. And he chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourself. You see, he wanted us to know that your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters your life. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances. In Day by Day with James Allen, his essay has been broken into a separate section for each day of the month. For the 22nd day of the month, James Allen shares, Create your own circumstances. A person only begins to become the person he wants to be when he ceases to whine and revile and commences to search for the hidden justice which regulates his life. You know, George Bernard Shaw said, people are always blaming their circumstances for what they are. I don't believe in circumstances. The people who get on in the world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want. And if they can't find them, they make them. See, you can build any quality into your mentality by meditating upon that quality every day. And in addition to the words of James Allen, there are a series of things I do every day. I do a morning and evening series of forgiveness prayers. I do a gratitude affirmation. I do Ho'oponopono. I do unconditional love affirmations. And I collect a positive thought from the daily word produced by the Unity School of Christianity. And the daily word for Sunday, October 22nd is, I am joy-filled and radiant. Give yourself that gift. Allow yourself to express with meaning and intention, I am joy-filled and radiant. These messages are powerful additions to the transformative transits we're all in the midst of experiencing, and I will share more after we talk with our guest. This past week, I spoke with Joyce Muse from Pacific Astrology. Joyce is one of the regular participants in our quarterly preview where we share the astrology, the numerology, the vibrational energy, and the wisdom of the tarot for the coming quarter. Our last quarterly preview was September 29th, And at that time, for the month of October, I selected the major arcana card, Roman numeral 20, XX. In the Osho Zen Tarot deck, this card is labeled Beyond Illusion. It shows a human face in repose that's birthing into a butterfly. The third eye is open, and the lotus of enlightenment and the rising sun of awareness are both emerging. The butterfly is the external world. The lotus and the sun are the internal world. This card reminds us to look within for the answers you're seeking. Don't look outside. This is the time to drop judgment. Drop your opinionated mind. Drop your need for right and wrong, good and bad. October says change your patterns to change your life. I shared with the quarterly preview audience that a way to release judgment and open your heart is to use this mantra daily. I live and practice loving kindness in all interactions. With that as our preface, let's introduce Joyce with her celestial phenomenon. She was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and she developed an early interest in astrology. And she began stalking all of her relatives. Not really. But she would observe her relatives and then compare that to the attributes of their signs. And she read all that she could about astrology. When she was able to move to the central coast of California, she met a practicing astrologer who generously shared his knowledge with her. And she also met an aura reader who taught classes based on the curriculum of the Berkeley Psychic Center. So in 1980, Joyce was ordained as a metaphysical minister who could give readings, healings, and consultations. And 37 years later, she's become a fixture at local psychic fairs. She's done thousands of readings. She's taught metaphysical and astrology classes to hundreds of people and performed numerous weddings. She's hosted many radio shows and specializes in quick on-the-spot readings as well as longer in-depth consultations. And she plans to continue giving readings and be of service to those who need clarity, guidance, encouragement, and support for as long as there's a millennium. Joyce joins us the third Monday of each month from 5 to 6 p.m. And let's have a little opening music for Joyce as we welcome her to Good Vibrations Radio.
We are the travelers on the road. We are the travelers on the road, drinking the sunshine, bathing the moonlight, guided by starlight, warmed by the glow of the heart, the family returning to their home, vanishing like the stars in the early morning dawn to roam.
And with that opening music from Joyce's husband, Peter Muse, Joyce, welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you, Solazar. Always nice to be on your show.
It's great to have you here every time. So what can we expect going forward?
I don't know. I had high hopes for Jupiter entering Scorpio, which happened on the 10th, but it hasn't been as pleasant as I had hoped it would be. But, you know, Jupiter, not unlike some of the other planets, can trick you, can fool you. So expectations are always a setup for disappointment. So we've just begun the cycle of Jupiter in the sign of secrets and sexuality and spies and intensity and depth and all those Scorpio words. So just almost on the day Jupiter entered Scorpio, we had this big Harvey Weinstein scandal break, which is, you know,
secrets and sex.
Isn't that perfect?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is a time where probably a lot of sex scandals and money scandals will come to the surface, because of course Scorpio is the sign of sex and the sign of money, resources. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting time. Not that it isn't always. Jupiter has been in Libra for the last year, which is actually kind of a more positive significator for relationships. But Scorpio takes relationships to their extreme. So while Scorpio spends a year in, Jupiter spends a year in Scorpio, we can find our relationships going to the extreme. And that can be good or that can be not so good, but it is what it is. So I have a Scorpio moon. Solazar, you have a Scorpio moon. So both of us can expect an expansion of our emotional side and hopefully mostly positive.
I was going to say, I was actually hoping for maybe an extreme level of paranoia. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, that would be one expression of Jupiter and Scorpio. And I'm sure there are people out there that are feeling that. You know, it doesn't take much to feel paranoid these days.
That's true. That's true.
And ultimately, I'm sure Jupiter and Scorpio is going to take us to a lot of interesting places. No doubt. No doubt. It'll be hard for people to keep their secrets. You know, it'll be hard to entrust people with our secrets. Any juicy piece of gossip will just be too hard to resist sharing.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting. And also, I think with this whole sex scandal thing going on, you know, it is kind of awakening a sleeping monster, not monster, but powerful force, ultimately for good. So maybe it's going to change the dynamic. Of course, of the Hollywood casting couch, but also other people in authority who use their power to abuse people with less power than them.
Well,
so Scorpio has to do with power.
I noticed both on KGO today, there was on the Bernie Copeland show, he was actually doing call-ins where women were calling in and talking about being certainly any rape or sexual harassment or intimidation. So really horrific stories. But I think what I felt about the positive side of this whole thing, like you said, is it's all coming out. It's coming to the forefront. It's hopefully going to create a greater consciousness and help us eliminate this behavior and this attitude.
That would be wonderful.
Or what I should really say is eliminate this crime. It's a crime. Let's be clear.
Right. And how many people would admit that 40 years ago or 30 years ago or even 2 months ago? I mean, it is a crime and we know it's a crime, but it's been such a part of the fabric of society, still is in so many places, that it almost goes unmentioned. But I'm the mother, or grandmother of two girls, and I hope that as they mature, they're not threatened by this kind of suggestions and abuse. That if you go on Facebook, everybody's saying, me too, me too. I've been sexually abused. I've been sexually harassed. Whatever. It would be wonderful to get to a time when that is not so common.
Well, I also
it's going to take consciousness of women and men.
And I liked the where somebody actually posted, why are we focusing on the victims? Why are we publishing the names of the predators? And actually,
right.
so like we're doing now with Harvey Weinstein, like we already know Trump is, you know, why are we putting out the names of the predators and saying these are the people that are the criminals?
Right.
Not the victims.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And I think Jupiter and Scorpio has done this. I think it's, I'm hoping that what we see going forward will be an expansion of awareness of all the types of things that have been done in secret and that are hidden. I do see it as a positive.
Ultimately, yes. Yeah. It seems with coming to consciousness, there's always a painful process, you know, of coming out of hiding and out of our comfort zone and admitting to things and, you know, talking about them.
Yeah.
So here we are. So what else Jupiter and Scorpio might do? I mean, it's definitely going to have some kind of financial implication, hopefully for the better, but it could be, you know, two steps forward, one step back kind of a thing with finances.
Now, one of the things we'll see at a national level also is that Janet Yellen, the head of the Fed, her term is up in February.
Oh.
And so whatever replacement, or unless she continues, whatever replacement goes in there could also significantly affect us all financially. And that would be interesting to watch under this aspect of Jupiter and Scorpio.
Yes, yes. Well, there'll be a lot to look at, you know, over this coming 12, 13 months. The other big shift is we're at the end of Saturn's transit through Sagittarius. So the last almost 2.5 years, Saturn's been in the fire sign of Sagittarius, and it changes December 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the last couple of months of Saturn in Sagittarius. So we might see some signs of whatever the lessons learned from that will be. I think definitely the challenges to our democracy. Sagittarius is a sign of idealism and also the law. And, you know, we're seeing American law being broken on a daily basis without repercussions. So it's probably going to be interesting to see what happens as we move Saturn into Capricorn, where things get a lot more solid and we can expect a lot more focused attention and get out of the dreamy philosophical clouds and into the boots on the ground kind of building a stronger foundation for the rule of law.
Mm.
Hopefully. You know, the USA chart, we were born with Pluto the last time it was in Capricorn. So as Pluto transits through Capricorn again, we are getting ready for the first Pluto return of the USA. Mm. And what we've been experiencing the last 2 years is Pluto opposite the USA sun. So that's kind of breaking down the old structure, and it may have to be decimated in order to build a new foundation, a new structure, which when Saturn goes into Capricorn as well, we'll have both Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn, which is the USA's first and second house, the self identity and the house of money. So eventually, I think it's 2022 that Saturn and Pluto conjunct in Capricorn. So it's all going to happen opposite the USA's sun, Jupiter, Venus, and Mercury. So we're in for some big shakeups, obviously. And right now, transiting Saturn is making its final pass of the USA's Mars. So we've got two and a half months, hopefully, that we don't get into a nuclear war. Thank you, President Trump. Because the USA's Mars is on Trump's sun. So, you know, no matter what he said or what he's saying, you know, there's always a possibility of a trigger finger with this particular guy, as Whoopi Goldberg calls him, the guy in the White House. She never calls him the president. But it's, you know, it is kind of a tense time, and Saturn's doing its work. So on the good side, we're in the time of Libra, and this week we have the new moon in Libra, which, if Uranus wasn't opposing it, would be really gentle, sweet, and nice. But this week, the sun is opposing Uranus, and let's see what else. So the new moon is on Thursday. The sun opposes Uranus, the moon opposes Uranus. So that whole new moon chart that begins the next 30-day cycle has Uranus involvement. You know, and even before we get there, Uranus seems active this week. Let me look at this chart. Okay, so right now the sun is at 23 degrees Libra, a very nice degree, and Uranus is at 26 Aries. So this whole week the sun is moving closer to that opposition, and Mercury is opposing Uranus. So they say with Uranus, expect the unexpected. Anything can happen and probably will. There's no, nothing stable. Everything's up for sudden and unexpected change. So that's the nature of Uranus. And Uranus can be extremely anxiety provoking. So we kind of need to counterbalance that Uranian nature. Although it's exciting, it's stimulating, but it's also unsettling and not comforting at all. So we're in a Uranian week that really culminates on this new moon coming up Thursday. So let's see this new moon. So the sun and new moon are both in Libra, and Venus is in Libra. So that's a lot of Libra. Libra likes harmony and balance. Libra likes good partnership and relationships. We have Mercury and Jupiter conjunct in Scorpio. So we've talked a little bit about Scorpio, its intensity, its power, its emotional intensity, sexuality, all of that stuff. So we're talking about sex this week. Might as well talk about it. And, you know, Saturn's actually making harmony with the sun and moon. Pluto is making disharmony with the sun and moon. And Uranus is making disharmony with the sun and moon. So really, we're in the final year of the Uranus-Pluto square for the most part, because Uranus is going to change signs early in 2018. So after 7 years of this, you know, intensely transformative and changing aspect, maybe things will calm down. They'll definitely get more earthy, more grounded, as Saturn goes into Capricorn and Uranus goes into Taurus. But we still have to finish up the next couple of months with Uranus and Pluto still in their dynamic tension with each other. So we've seen the world change. And it doesn't look pleasant. Someone said it's like a rock has been kicked over and all the dark and creepy crawly things have come running out for us to see. And, you know, maybe it's better to know the ugly truth than to be, you know, stupidly happy. You know, it's been dark times. It's been difficult times. We haven't finished rebuilding the American, I don't want to call it a dream, the American reality, you know, that was built 240 years ago. So it's like we have to tear down what doesn't work and rebuild what does work. And it's an ongoing project, and it's a long-term project. And I think it's going to be a lot more brick-and-mortar building beginning in 2018. So we just got to finish up what we started in the next 2 months. So what are the other big cycles?
Well, of course, the sun leaves Scorpio. I think you said that coming up.
Oh, the sun enters Scorpio.
Enters Scorpio, yeah, I'm sorry.
On the 22nd here, one of the days of the psychic fair, I think that's going to be great. It's going to be great for the psychic fair. Saturday will probably be the more social day, more fun, connecting with people, pleasant interactions, good news. And then Sunday, as the sun enters Scorpio, which isn't until late at night.
We're losing some of you as you speak. We're losing some of you as you speak. You're going in and out.
Oh, really? Well, I'll try to keep the phone at my mouth. How's that?
That's great. That's actually great, but we were losing you. But I heard social on Saturday. A social
and
time
a little
on...
more a little more intense on Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay. You know, Sunday will be probably more... Well, both days. The moon's in Scorpio on Saturday, and the moon moves into Sagittarius on Sunday. And so, you know, we have Scorpio influences both days. So either day that people come should be a real positive experience. Of course, it's always fun. And Mars goes into Libra on Sunday, the 22nd.
Mm.
So that's Mars in Libra. To companionship and connecting with people and charm, being charming, fun-loving. So that sounds like fun. You know, the psychic fair is always great.
And we should say, even though you said it, that people need to know that you'll be there as well at the psychic fair. You'll be doing readings, both astrology and tarot and intuitive guidance. You'll be doing dowsing. So, for those who are interested, they could actually connect with Joyce at the psychic fair as well.
Yeah, it sounds like there's some surprises in the works. Is that new and different people?
Oh, well, yeah. Somebody canceled. So a lecture has been shifted. Another lecture has been added to replace a lecture.
Okay.
You know, and you know, at this point, I haven't had additions of people, but one was gifted a trip to Hawaii, so they're going there. I did try to talk them into gifting me the trip, and I would go. but that didn't work out. How selfish was that? That's a Scorpio thing, kind of self-involved.
Yeah.
So that's just it. So there's always last-minute shifts the week leading up to it. But as you know, since the program is in the County Weekly, the program itself is not going to change. So people can come and be surprised at the event. But
okay. That but sounds good.
Yeah, but so far a couple of healers have dropped out, and that also affected one lecture on Sunday, which I published on Facebook. That was it so far.
Oh, good. Well, you must be going crazy this week, setting up this big fair and doing all the stuff you usually do as well.
Yeah, I'm feeling anxiety this week. So
no. No anxiety.
Yes, I am. So my Scorpio is getting very tender, loving care this week to not get exploded into total paranoia. So
right.
That's why I made that comment earlier. It's so easy when Scorpio, as you know, is kind of triggered. It gets defensive initially, you know, before it kind of takes an opportunity to look. So this was good.
Right, right. And Uranus is probably playing around with your sun.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure
it
is. Yeah,
that's always fun.
Yeah. You know, and
well,
I still have... Go ahead.
When I was young like you, I used to do big events. I remember.
Yeah.
They're quite intense.
Yeah, I mean, and some of the changes, there are a lot of shifts that I've had to deal with, but most of them are things other people wouldn't deal with or even see, you know, like my posters. Office Depot's mounting machine is broken, so they can't mount the posters. So I had to make a shift. One of my setup guys went into the hospital. Initially, they thought it was cancer. It turned out it's not cancer, which is good. He won't be there for setup. You know, I mean, it's like all of these things are just changing and churning and going on. And it's just the nature of the change. It's the nature of this year, to how I look at it.
Yeah. Well, you're going to feel really good on Monday the 23rd. with a successful fair behind you.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope so. And I hope, I hope actually energetically it also provides an opportunity for people, because I think as we get to the close of this year and start heading into 2018, I think the toughest thing for this year has been, and you could let me know how you feel about this, is really just having a hopeful, proactive, positive view to keep moving forward. And everything keeps the energy, the astrology, everything keeps pulling at us. And I think next year we've got to be active and proactive.
Right. I was just thinking about that, how this whole Trump election thing threw many of us for a loop, and we've been living with added angst and anxiety. And actually, it's our opportunity to learn to be positive in spite of current events. You know, I just see this whole, news media obsession and the whole Russian thing. And I mean, it is serious. It is dramatic. It is a difficult thing to handle. But we can't let it rob us of our enjoyment of the quality of our lives. I mean, this is our time. We've got to make the most of what we can in spite of the challenges. Just like our parents had to deal with World War II or whatever they had to deal with, and our grandparents had to deal with World War I. I mean, this is harder because it's not so specifically a war, although it is. And we're in such a different cyber situation that we've never been through before. And it's all a big learning curve. But still, when we get down to it and we turn off the screens and we listen to our breath and we get in touch with the truth that's at the core of our being, you know, we've got to appreciate the gift of life that we've been given and to rise up and meet the challenges of our particular lifetime. I mean, we have to do it for ourselves. We have to do it for those coming after us. We have to do it for our predecessors who gave us this American democracy. We can't just give up and let the Russians have it. We have to keep on fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. You know, where is Superman? Where is he? But, you know, this is our life. This is our now. This is what we have to deal with. And the signs the planets are moving through, you know, every year the sun's in Libra. Every year Mercury goes through Libra. Venus goes through Libra. That's what, you know, we're in the Libra time of year. And then we go into the Scorpio time of year and things get much more intense. And I love it in the beginning. And I'm so ready for it to end by the time the sun enters Sagittarius on the 22nd of November. Or is that right? Let's see. Well, it's going to go in the 21st this year.
Okay.
So, you know, the time of Scorpio is coming upon us, and it's Halloween. It's the early darkness. It's, you know, all these changes, the seasons changing. And I love it, and I value it. I cherish it. I look forward to it. And I try to stay in the moment with it. So this shift of Jupiter into Scorpio has been momentous. But again, it's a part of the fabric of life. So we have a year to get used to it. We have a year to make the most of it. We have 2 months left of Saturn in Sagittarius, and then we'll have a new energy to get used to. And I really feel this Jupiter in Scorpio and Saturn in Capricorn are going to be more substantial. You know, less chit-chat, chittering, and words, and more down-to-earth, feet on the ground. Let's do something productive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make things better. You know, let's work for positive change. And, you know, it's all a dance. It's all a dance. You know, we get knocked down. We, you know, get ourselves back up and start over until we get knocked down the next time. I mean, that's life. And if I haven't gotten used to it by now, it's getting a little late. You know, we just got to make it the best we can. What choice do we have? You know, I know you constantly inspire me, Solazar,
your
capacity to remind us to stay in the moment where we do have the power, to not get ahead of ourselves, like you were talking about fear, false evidence appearing real, and, you know, not getting caught in the negative mind chatter that wants to rob us of that pure experience of existence that is our moment, our gift. So I hope you just keep on doing what you're doing and keep on doing your radio and the road affair, because it's a great gift to this community. And I hope everybody turns out and really supports the fair this year, because without it, it would be such a bleaker world.
Well, thank you for both of those things. But I really wanted to tell you, my staying in the moment stuff, it's really so yesterday.
Well, do what you can, you know.
But I actually want to just share with you is that I always feel inspired by you, by your look, by your pragmatism, your practicality. And I get so much from your view, as well as, you know, your personal view, as well as your professional view as the astrologer and the intuitive that you are. So I really appreciate it. That's why I so enjoy you being on the show and able to share what you share. And people should recognize that gift and also take time to see you for private sessions or at Rota, whatever they choose to do, because they can get so much. Because you're not there to just hold their hand. You're there to help guide them to choose how they want to go forward.
Right. And it's so much easier giving a human a reading than just, you know, kind of saying, oh, the stars are here right now and this is what it means. Because it could mean anything. You know, there's so many variety of things. But when you have a human being's chart in front of you, you can see what the planets are doing to them. You can see what the Jupiter cycle means in their particular chart. You can see what Saturn changing signs is going to mean. You can see what effect Pluto is having on an individual's chart. And there's always something that stands out. Like if you look at the chart of the USA right now, one of the things that stands out is that the USA is having a Neptune transit. And it was in effect a year ago. It's going to be in effect a year from now. So we're dealing with Neptune. Neptune energy is so ephemeral and hard to ground and hard to see clearly. And, you know, our whole identity as a country is going through this massive Neptunian transformation that hopefully is going to enable us to reclaim our ideals as a nation, as well as the Pluto transit, which is the undoing and the redoing of the structure of our nation. So it's interesting. We'll see who's left standing.
But you also said something powerful, I believe, earlier that I want to remind the listeners is that, you know, we have to be engaged and involved. We can't just sit back, and everybody can decide what that means for them. It's not that there's a rule that, oh, if you don't do this, you're not engaged. We need to be a part of it. And I think that's what I think that Uranus Pluto square has really realized itself in the last 2 years in terms of what was the real expectation, what was really going to happen. And even though there was a series of steps leading up to it, essentially everything you've said is that this really, our election cycle last year and what we're seeing right now in the administration has been an undoing of what we believe the American ideal is, the American dream is, or what we stand for. And so it's important for people to say, if I want to hold on to or reclaim that dream or even shift it a little bit, give it a new paint job, we have to be involved. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. We do. So some of the highlight days, of course, are the new moon this Thursday. And then next Thursday on the 26th, the sun is conjunct Jupiter. So that can be a high energy day where we should see some major activity of one kind or another.
Mm.
And then November 3rd, we have the full moon in Taurus, which is a really positive full moon. That's Friday the 3rd. And then daylight savings time ends on the 5th.
Yeah.
So it'll be darker an hour earlier. So that'll really feel like fall. And then what else? Venus goes into Scorpio on November 7th. And then we have our next new moon on November 18th, which is the new moon in Scorpio. So that's another time of new beginnings. So we're really new moon to new moon. The 19th of October to the 18th of November is a lunar cycle. And it doesn't look too bad this year. I mean, Jupiter in Scorpio is the big change now. And we'll see what that means to the different signs. If you're a water sign, if you're a Cancer or a Pisces or a Scorpio, it affects you the most and hopefully in a positive way. And if you're an earth sign, it also affects you in a positive way. Jupiter in Scorpio is probably the hardest. Well, not even. I mean, for fire signs and air signs, it depends on the whole chart. But it's mostly beneficial for the water signs and earth signs. So really looking forward to that. And then the fire signs and the air signs have that Saturn and Sagittarius for two more months. So good to take advantage of that. And Saturn and Sagittarius is kind of like grounding your ideals, grounding your philosophical outlook. What do you believe? Why do you believe it? It seems like our beliefs, like you were saying, have been shaken up. But we've been knocked out of our complacency. I mean, most of my life, I just took for granted that American democracy worked and it would continue to work, whether I agreed with this president or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the first time that it's really been under such serious threat, you know, from a foreign power, you know, operating internally, maybe with the help of Americans, maybe not, you know, we don't know for sure.
Certainly some level of complicity. I believe regardless, there was a level of complicity from certain people that may not have recognized all that they were doing, but there were Americans complicit in everything.
Right. Well, sooner or later.
Go ahead. Yes.
We're going to know the whole truth. We'll know the whole truth.
Oh, just like we do about the JFK assassination? I'm just asking.
Good one. Good one.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
we certainly hope to know more. We certainly hope to know more. We hope to know responsibilities. And I would like to believe that there are enough people that really care about our democracy and our government and our representation that they won't let it fall all the way. But it certainly does look as if Uranus and Pluto, again, tore down that infrastructure, you know, and showed that it could be replaced. It's just whether or not we allow it to stay replaced.
Right, right. And, you know, with all these hurricanes, weather events, fires, I continue to believe it's the repercussion from the North American eclipse of August 21st. You know, we're still under the energy of that powerful eclipse. We haven't come to the end of it, and we probably won't for another 4 months. So it's been an incredible show to watch. You know, I always reflect on Paramahansa Yogananda, the great sage who came to the West in the 1920s and spread his Eastern philosophy of meditation. And when he was asked, you know, why do humans suffer so much? And he went into deep meditation for days until he got the answer. It's for our entertainment. 20 years later, he did the same process. Why do humans suffer so much? It's for our entertainment. I mean, we need this drama. We thrive on drama. We wouldn't want to be bored. We create all this stuff in order to keep it interesting. So, you know, I always come back to that as, you know, why we suffer so much. It's been the question of my lifetime. Why do we suffer? Why do we suffer? And apparently it's what we need to entertain ourselves.
Well, there was that aspect of it expressed in the movie The Matrix, which deals on a lot of spiritual and metaphysical philosophy. But when Agent Smith explained to Neo that they had actually created this pleasant world. I think it was in Matrix 2, that they had created this pleasant world, but humans couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't handle a world without some struggles or strife. And so it's an interesting, they obviously got that for Paramahansa Yogananda, but it's an interesting aspect that we have to ask ourselves is that we need something to strive for. We need something to overcome. We need something to achieve. We actually need those things. And when we don't have them, that's when we complain about our life most. We may complain
right.
about the other things while we go through it, but we need those things because it's that completion, that satisfaction, that overcoming that feeds us as a human being.
Right, right.
So
well,
that
I like the joy part too.
Joy is wonderful. Bliss is wonderful. When Joseph Campbell
yeah.
says, follow your bliss, how many of us take the time to really tap into our bliss? Bliss is astonishing. Bliss is why I took hallucinogens when I was a teenager.
Well, bliss is why I go to the psychic fair.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that was chemically induced bliss because I didn't know how to reach it otherwise. But bliss is astonishing. It's powerful. So
yeah.
We owe it to ourselves to give ourselves bliss.
That is true. That's true. And there's a rare and finite places to find it.
Yeah. And I'm
but
not suggesting anybody do hallucinogens. That's just
no.
That was
although it's become more accepted as therapeutic. There's nano doses of LSD as an antidepressant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've also heard of small doses of magic mushrooms, you know, to help people out of depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things are, they're helpers. I mean, I think for our generation, it kind of knocked us out of the complacency we were raised in and opened the doors of perception to other possibilities, which, you know, we've been pursuing for the rest of our lives in one form or another. But, you know, when the psychic fair is humming along and there's all these people getting readings and all these readers giving readings and vendors and talking to people and, you know, this hum of energy that just seems to be an ascending crescendo of energy. I mean, that's bliss to me.
Yeah, that's bliss. I agree with
you. You know, that's what makes the psychic fair so much fun. You know, it's just an alternative reality for a couple of days. So I'm really looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing all the faces and voices and beautiful objects for sale and all the other good stuff that comes. And so glad that you're continuing the tradition.
Well, we're keeping it going. It manages to keep itself stepping forward from year to year. That's all we can ask for.
Well, Jupiter and Scorpio might really help. People might be more curious and want to know, you know, what's going on in their own lives. So I have high hopes for a well-attended, exciting weekend.
Well, I did have one psychic who reached out to me at the just at the tip of the beginning of the month, I think like October 1st, and she had said, "Do you have room for me for one day?" And at that time, I said, "Yeah, I have room for you for one day." And then she came back to me 2 days later and she said, "Solazar, I tuned into spirit and I think this is going to be so well attended. I really would like to do 2 days if I could."
Wow.
And so I said, yes. So I've been carrying her little email to me like my lucky charm ever since then.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah, I think Jupiter in Scorpio is a great omen for a good year for psychics, a good year for readers, a good year for metaphysicians, you know, a good year for sex addicts.
But a bad year for Harvey Weinstein, I will say that.
A bad year for Harvey, yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, Joyce, how can people get in touch with you? We certainly know they can come to Table 14 at the Rota Psychic Fair this weekend, but how else can they get in touch with you?
You can call me at 831-236-6572, 831-236-6572, and also you can reach me on Facebook at Pacific Astrology. So I'm very available.
Well, thank you so much for doing this once again. I just have so much fun when you're here and everything that you share. So I appreciate it, and I'll see you this weekend.
Okay, Solazar. Looking forward to it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joyce, for sharing all of that powerful and positive information. Right now, all possibilities are on the table for each of us. This is the time to put yourself in the forefront of your future. This is the time for finding your way through the dark into your light. The light of your divinity, to allow it to shine fully and focused in this world. This is the time for digging into your shadow self and bringing those wounds, those grievances into the light and releasing them so they no longer hold you back. This is your time. Now, I've mentioned the daily steps that I take, but here are other daily steps that each of us can use to walk through our healing, to gain clarity and transform your life. Take responsibility for what occurred. You're not a victim. Accept that nothing wrong was done to you or happened to you. Notice where you still feel judgment and send love to that wound. Remember, I live and practice loving kindness in all interactions. Choose to feel the power of peace. Use these affirmations. First, the gratitude affirmation. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Next, expand your connection with what we've shared. I live and practice loving kindness in all situations. Then full acceptance of yourself. I accept and love myself unconditionally. Then open your heart. I surrender all to love. Next, you can close with your Huna healing practice of Ho'oponopono. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And then the forgiveness prayers from Lisa Barnett in her book, Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records. Divine Spirit, move me into a state of forgiveness toward anyone or anything that has hurt me, consciously or unconsciously. From the beginning of time until the present moment, I now forgive them as I release the energy of the past. Divine Spirit, please move me into a state of forgiveness for myself, for any hurt that I have caused others consciously or unconsciously. From the beginning of time until the present moment, I now forgive myself as I release the energy of the past. Divine Spirit, please move me into a state of forgiveness for myself, for any hurt that I have caused myself consciously or unconsciously. From the beginning of time until the present moment, I now forgive myself as I release the energy of the past. I invoke the power of grace and forgiveness to transform my body, mind, and heart as I return to my divine innocence. And so it is. Remember, healing is not linear, healing is not circular, healing is a spiral. We must heal in order to transform. Think of the golden spiral, the Fibonacci sequence. Einstein told us no problem can be solved by the same consciousness that created it. Through forgiveness, through love, through seeing your situation as sacred, you open to your inner shaman. Be non-judgmental. Being in balance and holding all experiences as sacred. As I close today, once again, I want to share the anonymous poem from Empower Astrology. In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. No matter how hard the world pushes against me, within me, there's something stronger, something better pushing right back. Whatever I give, I do so from the heart. You are not the victim. You have a choice. I want to thank you for listening to Metaphysical Musings on Spirit Talk. Additional shows sharing metaphysical topics can be found at goodvibrationsradio.com. Between now and next week, many blessings. Make your life the dream you've chosen and transform. We'll talk again next week. Namaste.
There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free. If you truly wish to live.